Yes, that is our reading today. And we read that with two questions in mind. First, how does this help me love God more? And how does this help me love others more? So, Allison.
What did I miss?
The whole reading.
I've been here.
No.
You like zoned out.
For an entire reading?
Yeah.
And I read zoned out?
You did, yeah.
How'd that go?
You know, better than your normal reading? Mm. Yeah. Hmm. All right, let's just read it again.
We're going to have to because I don't remember it. So I think it's day 110, and we're going to read 1 Samuel 30 through 31 and Mark 10 through 32 through 52.
See, now that you're awake, you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to zone out again. I'll try. You know what David did?
Yeah.
What?
He didn't do anything nice to the Amalekites.
No, he did not.
No. David destroys the Amalekites. Welcome to Chip and Eric reading through the Bible with friends. And one of our friends is named Allison. And I gaslit her and made her think that she missed the reading today.
That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah. It's named Chip and Eric and Friends Read Through the Bible. And one of our friends is Allison. And I totally gaslighted her and made her think that we had already done the reading.
Yeah.
So find us on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Type all that in.
Imagine if we had a separate podcast for every one of those stupid things that just one episode.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We could change the name. No. Nope. David destroys the Amalekites.
1 Samuel chapter 30. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in greater danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." So David sent his 600 men. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field, and they brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. "To whom do you belong, and where do you come from?" David asked him. "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite," he replied. "My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kerethites in the Negev, the territory of Judah, and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me to this band of raiders?" David asked. The young man replied, "If you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them." So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds and drove them ahead of the other livestock. "This plunder belongs to David," they said. Then David returned to the brook Besor and met up with the 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with him. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, "They didn't go with us. They can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children, and tell them to be gone." But David said, "No, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment." From then on, David made this a decree and regulation for Israel, and it is still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. "Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies," he said. The gifts were sent to the people of the following towns David had visited: Bethel, Ramoth, Negev, Jatir, Aror, Sifmoth, Eshtemoah, Rakal, the towns of the Jeremielites, the towns of the Kenites, Horma, Borashan, Athak, Hebron, and all the other places David and his men had visited.
1 Samuel 31, the death of Saul. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Saul groaned to his armor-bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through and taunt me and torture me." But his armor-bearer was afraid and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul, his three sons, his armor-bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. When the Israelites on the other side of Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. The next day, when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his three sons on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death in their pagan temple to the people and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. They placed his armor in the temple of the Ashtaroths, and they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Beth Shan. But when the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Beth Shan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. They brought them to Jabesh, where they burned the bodies. Then they took their bones and buried them beneath the tamarisk tree in Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days.
Okay, we're going to jump forward to Mark chapter 10. We're going to start verse 32. Jesus again predicts his death. They were now on the way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen to him. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again."
Jesus teaches about serving others. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road.
And that is our reading today.
I have to tell you two funny things. One, I always read that wrong too, for even the Son of Man came not to be served. I always read it wrong. I always read it came to be served. Mm-hmm. It is a fear of mine that if I ever preach that passage, I will do that in front mm-hmm. of everyone. So that's funny. And the other funny thing is that I don't remember the other funny thing. So there you go.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so we read that again.
Oh, okay.
With two questions in mind. Do you need me to remind you of the questions too? Sure. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So Allison, mm-hmm. how does this help you love?
How does this help
others more? Others more, Allison.
The secondhand embarrassment that I get when I read their response.
Listen, I'm going to be betrayed to the Jewish leaders, and then they're going to sell me out to the Romans to put me to death. But then after that, I'm going to rise from the dead. Hey, can I be in charge when we get to heaven?
I can't even handle it. I can't even handle it. What were they thinking?
So here's the thing. After when he's arrested, they all abandon him because mm-hmm. they weren't listening mm-hmm. when he said that was going to mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't understand because they're sitting there thinking about who's going to be in charge.
Were they not listening?
I mean,
did they not process what he was saying right there?
I think everyone on the show knows that I love my son very much, but the other day he asked me a question and I answered it. And by the time I answered it, he was gone and off on some other subject. And I'm like, what is happening? And it's the same thing.
But you would think something as shocking as they will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again would catch your attention. You would think.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
But
can I be in charge?
It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. And Jesus is patient with them, but goodness, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the fact, it makes me even more embarrassed when he says, can you drink from this cup of suffering? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, sure.
Which is crazy because James will be the first apostle martyred and John will be the last apostle alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I cut you off because I'm also just baffled by that.
So loving others more, and we saw this, David said it too, in the other reading, he said, don't be selfish. Mm-hmm. Don't be selfish. He was ready to, that was a way to serve his friends because they were too tired to go. So the ones who could go went. And came back and they're like, well, they shouldn't get the plunder. And David's like, no, we don't act like that. Like, we're going to share. Don't be selfish. And this is kind of another situation, too, where Jesus tells them, like, what? You don't know what you're asking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very selfish. How do you ask that question?
Well, you got to wait till the right moment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't be awkward and ask right after Jesus tells you he's going to be brutally murdered.
No, that's exactly when you want to ask.
Yeah. I just think I can love others more by really, really trying to take the focus off of myself so that I hear when someone's telling me something important. Am I listening? Am I aware? Am I present when someone's telling me something important, or are they telling me something important that they need me to know? And I go, well, listen, so about me, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want to ever be them and just start immediately bring it back to me.
But his answer to them is really good too, you know, of how to love others more also. And like, we have to serve people, mm-hmm. you know, even mm-hmm. Jesus isn't here mm-hmm. to be served. He's here to serve. I just think that that's such a great answer too. Mm. So like, he, and also let's be very clear. Jesus experienced human emotions. So when he bore his heart to his friends and said like, this is all the stuff I'm about to go through. And they're like, cool. Can I be in charge? And he says, I'm not even here to be in charge. I'm here to serve you. You know, like, man. So I think that's another way too. Like, yes, listen, hear the important things, be present in the conversation. Also serve each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes being present in the conversation is an act of service.
Right. If you're seeking for ways to serve people,
yeah,
then you're not sitting around zoning out, going, I wonder if I can be in charge one day.
Yeah. Well, that's all I do. But yeah, most people. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how does this help us love God more?
Man, I love the Amalekites getting beaten on again. Makes me happy. So the Amalekites were raiders that lived in the area of the Negev, which if you follow, like, if you follow Israel due south, that's the Negev wilderness. And the first time we read about the Amalekites getting beaten on was the time that Moses had to keep his hands over his head. Mm-hmm. That was the Amalekites.
Okay.
So I love, like, the idea of that. they're kind of a people without a nation. They are raiders. They're tribal. They're nomadic. And that's what they do. They go around and take things from people and hurt people. And I think they didn't think that they were going to get caught this time. Mm. And then they got caught. And it just reminds me that God's got it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the battles. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not really up against like a big thing. Like, this isn't an army. This is a band of raiders, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not an army that I'm going up against. It's something much more subversive or difficult to kind of pinpoint. God's got that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to hyper-spiritualize the scriptures, but I just think that it's important to know that God's got it when it's a big, vast Philistine army. God's got it when it's a little band of, a relatively little band of Amalekite raiders. God's got it when our women and children and livestock and all of that stuff is taken from us. God's got it. And I just think, man, we need to trust him. God's got it if we're only at 2/3 of our strength, right? 200 guys stayed behind. God's got it.
Well, and he even said, I wrote that down, he found strength in the Lord, yep. because they were going to stone him. His people were turning on him.
Yeah.
You've just been attacked. And they're like, well, you're the problem. I mean, they were about to stone him. And it said, David found strength in the Lord, stayed calm, mm-hmm. went to God. What do I do? He's like you said, he's got it.
I love that. Yeah, he's cool in a crisis, that's for sure. Mm. Yeah. All right, well, we read it twice, and it was really good. I'm sorry all of you had to listen to it twice. That's a real bummer.
Yeah.
But I hope it was good.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Thank you.
You know what, Allison? This is a great example of you not being present.
Right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
You know what it was? We read it together, and the whole time you were just thinking, I wonder if one day it could be called Allison and Allison read through the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is what I was thinking. I was thinking like my silhouette on a shirt, just two of my heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Allison and Jackie read through the Bible.
Oh my gosh.
That's what
let's do that.
That's what it could be called.
No. But you have to Allison first.
Yeah, well, yeah. You have to take on the persona of Chip and I. Each one has to have a Chip in an ear.
There's no way I could do that.
Nope. Not without going to a mental institution.
That's right. That's right.
Well, hey, speaking of mental institutions, we got to go.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys are doing well. Something about the challenge?
Yep. Get your challenge finished up.
I had a question.
What?
Someone asked me a question.
Let's hear it.
Someone wonderful, by the way.
Oh.
Asked me this question. Okay. If I wasn't up to date when the challenge started, but I've read every day since the challenge started, does that count?
Yes.
Okay.
I would think, because the goal is to read every day.
Read every day. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep. Yep.
That's the answer I gave.
I love that.
So just keep it up, guys. You're doing so good.
You are doing good. We've gotten a lot. We've gotten through a lot, and
yep.
we're doing great. I'm proud of you guys.
We're about to go into the glory years of Israel right here. Got some David on the throne stuff coming up.
Yeah,
That's the good stuff. Yeah, there's tough stuff in there, but... Those are the glory years of Israel. Yeah. And then after that, it all pretty much goes downhill
for a long time.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow.
That's what you think.